Well, let's pray the chaplet. Love to pray with you today. And let's call upon the saint of the day. There are two of them, St. Philip Neri and the other, Joan of Arc. Right? Yeah, girls. I got two girls on the other side of the glass. I got Maggie and Lauren, and they're both woo-hooing me. I'm loving it. You guys love St. Joan of Arc?
I mean, how could you not?
I know. She was something else, wasn't she? Way ahead of her time. She's got an interesting story for those who maybe you don't know, and I can fill you in just very briefly on what I do know about her. And I would call you to, I mean, she's such an inspiration on so many different levels. And what a perfect time for her, for her feast day, if you think about it. It's Memorial Day, right? I often think of the scripture where it says that there's no greater love that one can have than to lay down your life for your friends, for your brother, right? No greater love than that. And that's what Joan of Arc did, right? She gave her life in the end. She was put to death, burned at the stake. And every Memorial Day, I know we remember so many of those who served in the military, our fallen soldiers, for their sacrifices. And let's remember them today during this chaplet, because I will not be live on Monday, but we'll pray for all those in the military today, all those who have served the country, all those who have fallen, all those who have passed on. And, you know, I just, when I think about this holiday with St. Joan of Arc at this time of year, I think, what a perfect way to put her on the calendar. You know, St. Joan was maybe one of God's great soldiers, right? Literally. I mean, her sacrifices in the defense of her country and her lifestyle just exemplify what Christ taught, that there's no greater love, you know, than to lay down your life. And she was burned at the stake by her enemies. Horrible way to die. Even in the midst of that torture, those who witnessed her death, they say that Joan continued to serve God in the end simply by crying out the name of Jesus with her very last breath. How do you do that? Right? Christ hung on a cross, and he ended up, of course, forgiving those who did this to him. Joan cried out the name of Jesus. And the heroic way that she died was described by one eyewitness as causing everyone present, including even some of her enemies, to recognize the fact that God's hand was on this girl. And they made professions of faith when they saw her make such a remarkable end. And that often happened. The martyrs of Toronto, so many others who were put to death, the way they went to death for love of Christ brought about the conversion, even of their persecutors. Let's pray for those who persecute us today. Let's pray that we may love God and serve him. And if he calls us to sacrifice, to suffer, or even to give up our life, that we can do it with just total love. All right. I want to just share a couple quick emails that come in. And, of course, you can get your petitions to us by going to Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show. If you put them up there, Maggie will get them on the air. That's at Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me at Drew Mariani as well. Or you can call. We can get you in on the phones at 888-914-9149. I just want to give thanks to God for a couple things. I love this petition that came in. Hey, Dustin, congratulations. He says, I want to thank God, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph for my new job. I start after Memorial Day. Woohoo! Right? He says, I was praying for a permanent position with higher pay for help with my finances. And I received a call today for a job offer for a direct higher position where I am going to make much more money. I just want to praise God. So we've got to thank God for his mercy and the answer to that prayer. Another person wrote and says, hey, wanted to follow up about my dad who was in a car accident. He's getting good care and he's going home. Says it looks much better. And I just want to praise God again for his mercy. Many blessings to you, your family, and to all at Relevant Radio who pray for him. Another person says, look, last Friday, one of your prayer intentions was with the healing of knees and legs. I've been having a lot of pain in my right knee. And during the chaplet, during your prayer request, I internalized it. And I noticed a huge improvement in my knee. The pain had left, and I just want to praise God again for his mercy. I love the way God works, don't you guys? He can heal in an instant. And he'll surprise us sometimes with those new jobs, those big blessings, those ways out of situations that we never thought we could get out of. So just want to thank you for taking the time to write. A lot of intentions continue to come in. I've been trying to share a little more of the answered prayers. You can send me your petitions, too. We get a lot of those. And if I don't read them on the air, don't think we have not read them, because we do. And we pray for each of those. Maggie, anything you want to pray for as we begin?
I do have an intention, Drew. It is my mom's birthday today, so I want to lift her up for birthday blessings.
Happy birthday, Miss Grishel.
Yep.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And I want to pray for everyone who's traveling this weekend,
yes,
too. Are you and Joe going to go see your mom? I don't ask you. Your mom's listening?
It might be a surprise. I don't know.
It is now. No, I love it. No, safe travels if you try. I don't know what you're doing. We haven't talked about your weekend plans. You know, I'll be in the air. So, but let's pray for those who travel for safety, and we'll pray for safety in this country as well, and we'll pray for all of your intentions. And let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable, divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right. We'll take our first call today. It comes from Joanne, praying with us in Brooklyn, New York. Oh. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. Hi, thank you for taking my call. Just asking for prayers to my husband, Joe. He's had a liver transplant, and he's had a lot of health issues. And just praying for his recovery. He's been in the hospital since March, and it's one thing after another. But we've been blessed that he got a liver transplant, but he's just having a lot of difficulty,
yeah,
you know.
Well, I'm glad you got
that
through.
And thank you. Yeah, thank you.
We're going to pray for you. We'll pray for that complete healing, okay, and restoration. Get him back home with you. It's tiring being in and out of those hospitals. And, Joanne, I'll lift up your husband and, of course, all of your needs, whatever they might be. And, Lord, you hear the cry of this wife. She loves her husband, and she's just asking you, heal. I think of the scriptures, you know, and people would come up to Christ and say to him, hey, can you heal my daughter? She's sick. Can you help this man? He's blind. Can you remove the leprosy? And he would do that. It's no different today. And Joan, I know God heard your prayer. So let's pray right now that from this prayer forward, your husband's condition begin to change for the better. We're going to pray for complete restoration of his health and his liver. I pray for anyone having issues with their vital organs, Lord, anyone in the process of recovery right now, anyone in the need of physical, spiritual, emotional healing. I give you these souls, and I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Southern California next. Joseph is praying with us there. Hi, Joseph.
Hello. Hi, Drew. Thank you for everything. You're all in my prayers. Congratulations, Maggie. And it's for my father, who is 98 and suffered a fall yesterday and has a fractured cervical spine. And
oh, no.
Quite a bit of pain.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm glad you got through, Joe. We're going to pray right now for you, in particular your father. 98 beautiful years. Wow, that's longevity. But I give you Joe, and I give you in particular the elderly. My heart always goes out to them. So often these falls result in broken bones, and in this case, a spinal fracture. I pray for the mitigation of the pain of this man. I pray for wisdom with the physicians that are now treating him. I pray for Joe, who will need to be fortified, and all those family members. And I just, but I don't have the words other than for your mercy. And I just ask you right now to embrace this man, to bring healing. You know, I just ask that you hear our prayers as we pray. Eternal Father. And I pray for all the elderly right now, too. So many who have problems with their pelvises, their bones, their visions, their just their health. And I just give you all the elderly with all their aches and pains. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Right, before we go to Malgorzata, who is going to be joining us from New Jersey, our third caller, let me go to Maggie. Maggie is waiting for your calls and your intentions. You can send them to her on our Twitter page, at Drew Mariani Show. You can always email me them, too. Maggie gets her eyes on that Twitter, though. That's a good way of doing it. And send me definitely your answer prayers to drew@relevantradio.com. drew@relevantradio.com. Maggie, what can we pray for today?
You know, we've talked about persistence in prayer. And Abraham has written to us a number of times, pretty much the same prayer intention. And I just want to lift it up once again, because I think it's been a while. He says, I want to pray about a bad decision I made in my past, leading to traffic charges. May the Lord have mercy on me. I've learned my lesson. I want to pray for my family, who's been patient and supportive during this time, that they would remove the hold from my license, for reconciliation for my family and for all families, and for my family members to come back to the Catholic faith. We're praying for you, Abraham.
Yeah, I remember his call. The other guy who calls a lot is Paul from Milwaukee, who's praying for his vision to be restored. So I love the persistence of prayer. Mm-hmm. And I just want anyone who's been praying a long time for something to know that God hears that prayer.
Yep.
Believe me, God hears that prayer.
Litany wrote to us and said, please pray for a special intention for my marriage. Pam wrote to us and said, please ask our spiritual family to pray for my beautiful niece and her special intentions regarding her new baby. Carrie wrote to us and said, I'm writing to update you guys on my husband's job situation. I think she'd called in a couple of days ago. We prayed about this. He talked with his boss, but there's no changing his boss's mind. I'm trying not to feel anxious, but I'm failing miserably. We need God's direction, and my husband needs a job. And the first thing I thought of, I had a friend down south who used to say this a lot. She would say, sometimes rejection is God's redirection for your protection.
Say that again, one more time.
Rejection is God's redirection for your protection.
Oh, I love it. That's great.
So, Carrie, we pray that that will get resolved for you. And Jenny said, Maggie, please ask all prayer warriors to pray for my daughter, that she might find a good man like your Joe. I thought that was really sweet.
That's awesome. Yeah, a lot of people, I've had several calls. I don't know whether you were back or not saying, it seems like everybody that you work with is getting married or is engaged. Really, it was a fun email that she sent. We have Lauren here. We've got Nick, you.
Nick's getting married this weekend.
And Nick's this week.
He's out today.
Is he gone already?
Yeah.
I didn't get to say goodbye to him. And then, of course, Lauren, who's in here too, she's one of our engineers.
But let's pray blessings for Nick and Olivia.
Yeah, for their wedding.
And Lauren and Zach.
I want to pray for the woman who wrote, too. I don't have the email in front of me, but her email was very fun, the way she wrote it. But she was said, hey, could you pray for me? I think she's in her 60s, and she's just looking for somebody, you know?
Sweet.
Anything else, or is that it?
That's it.
All right, well, let's take those intentions, and we will pray. John Paul II, before we go on, I'll just leave you with this bit of wisdom that he said. I love him, one of my patrons, one of my favorite saints. He says, never give up, right? Never, ever give up on hope. Never doubt. Never tire. Whether you're praying for that spouse or for that job or that new beginning or that healing, never tire to becoming discouraged. He says, above all, be not afraid, because if God asks much of you, it's because he knows you can give much, right? And if you're open to that, I know God will give you much as well. God hears those prayers. So let's go to Mark Rosada, who's listening to us in Cliffside Park, New Jersey. Hey, Margaret Zadig, welcome. Thanks for praying with us.
Thank you so much for taking my call. And first, Maggie, congratulations and all the blessing for you and for your husband.
Thank you so much.
I want to give you a true testimony. One for Boris. I called like 1 month ago. In March, he had a stroke. He was in the hospital. And the doctors told the family to prepare the funeral. And after 3 weeks, he went back home, and he's doing fine.
Well,
praise be to God, and you know all the people that pray with us. And thank you. The second one, we were praying for 1-year-old Maximilian. He had operation. He had a cancer, and he had that operation, and he's free of cancer.
Wow, praise God.
Thank you so much, Jesus. I trust in you.
Amen.
And I am praying and asking you guys, all of you, prayers for my husband. He had a problem with his back and knee. And the doctors really don't know what's going on. And, you know, the 4th of June, we're going to Poland. And we will go to Agiewniki, to Sister Faustina, and pray for all of you, the people that praying over there. We will take the petition and give it to Jesus and to Faustina. And my husband needs to be, you know, healed.
Yeah.
And I know that God can do it everything. You know, that's why I'm asking you for the prayers. And on June 18, we will celebrate 4 years wedding anniversary in Poland over there. Just
beautiful.
Please pray for us. Remember.
We'll pray for you. I promise you, we'll pray for you and your husband for that travel as well. Do me a favor. You could pray for me and pray for our family here.
Sure.
At the tomb of St. Faustina there, okay?
Yes, yes. Because, and, you know, yes, I will be there. That's for sure.
Your husband, you know, and Maureen Digan, the woman who led to the beatification of St. Faustina, was actually healed there physically. So maybe your husband will get his healing there too. So
I believe that.
Let's pray for it. We'll pray right now for you, okay? We'll lift
Thank
up you,
you so
and
much.
All your intentions. Thank you for such a beautiful call and for your prayers. Lord, I give you every one of this beautiful woman's intentions, but I do pray in particular for her husband. She talks about these back problems. Again, a reoccurring theme today. So I ask you to heal those who have back problems, herniated discs, fractured spines. Lord, those who just have sciatica, any nerve problems. I just ask you to heal the back and those who are suffering in areas of this part of the body, the discomfort. Pray for safety in her travel, and I pray for all her intentions. I unite her beautiful prayers to all who now cry out to you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I loved your call. Notice you call with two answered prayers, right? Two great prayers from the Divine Mercy Chaplet. But she was a woman who prayed with faith, and she believed. So I love it. Terry in Palm Springs, California, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon.
Thanks to you and to all of you who will pray for these intentions. I have a friend who's now ready for death with pancreatic cancer, but he turned his back on Jesus quite a while ago. And I've been praying for a miracle with his cancer, but more so that through this ordeal, he has turned to Jesus. So I pray for that, and I pray for my cousin, who is, I'm told, 3 weeks away from dying a very strange cancer. So thank you. And I'm still praying about my lost package that I called about once, but Jesus has been great to me by directing me to people who can help me in doing what I can to put safeguards in place. And I'm you now,
yes,
Drew, because I keep going, I refuse to worry. I'm just not worrying.
Good for
so
you.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's liberating, isn't it? When you say, Lord, there's nothing I can do about it, it's in your hands. There's a freedom. But I share your pain, too. I know you lost documents. I think you called back like towards the end of March or April. I remember your voice and your story because I lost my wallet, right? And I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. It wasn't meant to be. And it was not returned. A lot of people prayed for it. Maybe there was another reason for that. I don't know what it was. I had to get different stuff and... But maybe I was a witness to somebody else in that encounter, you know, as I pursued these other things or shared the story. I don't know. But I'll continue to pray for those documents for you to be found. But God brings good out of these situations, Terry. And we will pray for those in your family and your world that are suffering from cancer. Lord, I give you cancer right now and pancreatic cancer. Such a wretched, such a horrible cancer. And I just, but you're greater than cancer. And I just, if it's your will, vanquish these cancer cells and those who are now fighting it. I pray for their families, that they can be fortified, those who love them, that they can be upheld. And if for some reason, Lord, you're going to call our loved ones home through this, give them the super abundance of grace to just be drawn to you, because we don't really die. We live forever. And one day we'll all be with you. And I just pray for that hour of death, that it can be a holy one and that you'll come and meet us as a merciful Savior. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Hey, Maria, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a brother who's having marital problems, so I would like to pray for all of those who are having marital problems.
I'm sorry.
And thinking about divorce, or even those who are planning on marriage, that the Lord bless them and guide them in their choices and decisions about their future.
Well,
thank you.
You got it, Maria. I know you feel deeply. And I know God hears the cries of your heart, you know, and we'll pray for conversion. I mean, in these relationships, so often people grow apart. There's a lot of other reasons that cause the splintering. And Lord, I just pray that you convert the heart. Those sacramental marriages, Lord, I ask you strengthen. If they are divided, that you reunite and you rebond. And I think of that prayer that we say at the very beginning of this chaplet. The prayer is, O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. Say that prayer. Say it for your brother. Say it for his marriage, because the Lord said to St. Faustina, it's in diary entry, I think 186, 187, he says, when you say that prayer with a contrite heart and with faith on behalf of some sinner, he says, I will give them the grace of conversion. That's a beautiful prayer. So pray for whatever is needed. For that conversion of heart, the conversion of mind, whatever it may be. And Lord, I just give to you Francesca and Patty and Cuckett and Angelo and Terry and Verna and Alicia and Andrea and Sam and Rosie and Brian, everyone on hold, everyone who's praying with me now, everyone who's written. I know you hear our prayers, whether we get on the air or not, whether they're voiced or not. And I just ask today in a particular way that you make very visible to those who are asking for your mercy. Make visible that mercy, Lord. Let them see it, feel it, experience it. We pray for new beginnings as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Lord, just have mercy. My heart goes out to everyone here that we can't get on. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Joan of Arc,
pray for us.
Saint Philip Neri,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You know what we have to pray for? Let's pray for our culture. And we have the Bud Light fiasco, we've got the Target fiasco, we have now the North Face fiasco. We have all these gender issues, transgender, Pride Month coming up. I'm going to take a short break, but when I come back, I'm going to speak to perhaps one of the most brilliant men I know. I think this guy should sit on the Supreme Court, to be honest with you. His name's Professor Robert George. He's got an antidote. He's got such a wonderful solution to Pride Month, and we'll share it with you when we come back. I'd love to see this take traction. Stay with me. I'll fill you in on what he's proposing.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
You don't even know. I can make your hands clap.
All right, we are less than a week away from the start of the month of June. Right? Can you believe that? It is crazy. We officially enter the summer months in the Northern Hemisphere. We're Catholics. A long-standing tradition has marked June, of course, as the month of the Sacred Heart, right? The solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart almost always falls within that month. Unfortunately, today, as you know, the world has taken over this month. And now what do we have? It's being championed, paraded, celebrated as Pride Month. And that is something totally manufactured, totally made up by the LGBTQ plus lobby. First is Pride Week. Remember, I don't know if you remember that. When it started as Pride Week, that wasn't enough. It then expanded to Pride Month. And the noise and commotion around it now is becoming just overwhelming. A lot of retailers they're doing cartwheels or falling all over themselves to market to this group. And, I asked one of my producers, do a little research. What is the percentage that makes up this demographic, the LGBTQ plus lobby? He came back with this number. He says about 5% of the population, ballpark, right? 5%. And think about these retailers. They're going nuts catering to that. What about the other 95%, right? How much of your base are you alienating or upsetting? Major sports, they're doing the same thing, right? We had this conversation earlier in the week and spoke about it several times already about the dust-up over the L.A. Dodgers and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. What an assault and an affront on what Catholic nuns really are all about and our faith. As it turns out, that nuclear official in the Biden administration who was arrested, remember this guy who was stealing women's suitcases at airports, is part of this, you know, I just saw the story today. He's part of an anti-Catholic hate group, right? So there's another element here. You got Bishop Robert Barron, who once threw out the first pitch for a Dodgers game. He's calling for a boycott of the major league club. Here is Bishop Barron. I don't know if you had a chance to hear what he had to say. I'll play a little bit of audio for you because I like it. We can't sit back. We've got to take action. We have to do it with love and charity. And my next guest is going to be joining me in a minute, Professor Robert George. Actually, I think he has a wonderful solution. He has an antidote to all of what we're seeing. But here's Bishop Robert Barron, just a great bishop, great voice, and coming out with some solutions. Listen.
Hey, everybody, it's Bishop Barron. I'm sure by now you've all heard about this controversy involving the LA Dodgers and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. You know, the Dodgers invited this group, which I think can only be described as an anti-Catholic hate group, invited them to be honored at the Dodger Stadium. Then when there was a howl of protest from Catholics and others, they disinvited them, good move. But then they reinvited them. And the reinvitation was accompanied by a kind of pathetic apology where they were praised for all the great work that they do. Now, look, I'm not going to go into all the details. Look them up on YouTube or something. You'd find what they do. I'll give you one example. I think it was on Easter Sunday, there was a display where they have Jesus on the cross, so the most sacred moment in history for Catholics. And a drag queen comes in and kind of pulls Jesus off the cross, then does a sort of pole dance on the cross. For Catholics, it's hard to imagine anything more offensive than that. Suppose this group had dressed up in a kind of simulacrum of a rabbi and had done something deeply disrespectful to the Torah, or take it a step further, had dressed up in a, you know, mockery of a Muslim cleric or imam, and then had desecrated the Quran. What would the reaction be? You know, those questions answer themselves, but somehow attacking Catholics in this most disgraceful way is okay. Not only okay, it should be honored. You know, everybody, I've said this before, but there's a long tradition in our country of anti-Catholicism. It was said famously, about a century ago, the last acceptable prejudice in America is anti-Catholicism. But we shouldn't tolerate it. One thing I would say, since the Dodgers clearly are not responding to a decent appeal to reason, I'd encourage my friends back in L.A. Look, I was auxiliary bishop for 6 years in L.A. I threw out the first pitch at a Dodgers game a few years ago. But I'd encourage my friends back there, boycott the Dodgers. May I say, too, especially my Hispanic friends, many of whom are big baseball fans out there, this is your religion. This is the religion of your family, of your abuela and abuelo, of your familia, your tradición. Why are we tolerating this? We shouldn't be tolerating it. So let's pray, everybody. Let's pray for the defense of our faith, and let's stand for the Catholic faith.
Yeah, it's Bishop Robert Barron, and I think he's right. Let's stand for the defense of our Catholic faith. And look, there has been recoil. Bud Light has just taken a spanking. They've lost billions of dollars. Target, you know, we had that conversation about them carrying their Pride collection, which aimed at children. They're taking a major toll as well. Their market value has plunged $6 billion. Their stock is down nearly 14% in a week. In a week. The executives there should do a double take and say, 5%? Should we continue to target and be part of this? Or do we care about our stockholders, right? They've taken designs that they got from a Satanist we talked about. There was a Satanist who was doing designs. They've now taken them off their website, which is a good step. So I want to applaud them for that. Final thing here. The National Religious Broadcasters meeting this week, Franklin Graham gave a talk. He said something that struck me. He said, every demon has been let loose. And it's really not hard to believe that. We are in a crazy time. But as Christians, as Bishop Barron said, we need to fight back. I know a man who's got a very simple idea. And I'll tell you what, I hope it takes root, and I hope it grows. His name is Professor Robert George of Princeton. And on his Facebook page, he says, by the authority vested in me, by absolutely no one, I declare June Fidelity Month. And he was on the air with us a little bit earlier and mentioned that he was going to be kicking this off in June, so I invited him back. It's great to have him with me today. Professor, thank you for what you are doing. Good to talk with you again.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much, Drew.
Boy, this stuff is accelerating, isn't it? You heard, I mean, there's so many different case after case after case, from Bud Light to even North Face. I didn't throw that into the mix there. I saw a story the other day regarding them. It seems to have come on our country like a tidal wave. What are you seeing? And maybe we can start with why this has taken such root, has taken such traction.
Well, to tell you the truth, Drew, I'm not all that interested in talking about Pride or Pride Month or anything like that. I think it's much better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. And there's an awful lot of darkness out there. So Fidelity Month is lighting a candle. And I was motivated to propose Fidelity Month because I have perceived what all the polling data now confirm, which is that we Americans are experiencing a huge drop, a precipitous decline in allegiance to the old-fashioned values, love of God, fidelity to marriage and family, service to community, love of country, those values that used to unite us and be our source of strength. In a country that's not unified or built on blood and soil, or thrown an altar where we are different religions, different ethnicities, different cultures, different histories, come from different places, you need some common values as your sources of unity and strength. And for us, in addition to our great constitutional principles, we had across the lines of theological division, across the cultural lines, across the racial and ethnic lines, commitment to God, commitment to family, the marriage-based family, and commitment to our country and our communities. So when I perceived, as many others have, and as the polling data now confirm, when I perceived this precipitous drop in allegiance to those values, what occurred to me is that we've got to do something to restore our faith in those values. We have to do something to restore fidelity to God, fidelity in marriage, fidelity to our country and communities. So I proposed that we get together across again all the different racial and ethnic and religious lines and so forth, and unite to celebrate Fidelity Month, a month that we will rededicate ourselves, in which we'll rededicate ourselves to these old-fashioned values and sources of unity and strength. So we've got a wonderful logo, and we've got organizations around the country that are planning activities and events for Fidelity Month. We're lighting a candle. We're not cursing the darkness. You can curse the darkness all day, and it doesn't bring any light to the situation. You got to light the candle.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, it's Bishop Barron was saying we need to stand up, make a difference, and you're certainly doing that. I know you announced this earlier on Facebook. You've gotten quite a following there. You have that logo as you talk about, designed for T-shirts and hats and gear. There's now a public, I think, group that can find, you can find if you search, I think, for Fidelity Month on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, you'll find it there. What kind of response have you gotten? Where is this? And you think it will gain the momentum that you're hoping to get?
Time will tell. We're a few days out from June 1. We're going to be launching with a webinar. The public is invited, free of charge, online. People can Zoom in on Thursday, June 1st, 2 o'clock East Coast time. I guess that would be 11 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. But the webinar will feature some wonderful guests. I'll be the host. We'll have Jacqueline Rivers of Harvard University. We'll have Lila Rose, the great pro-life activist. Juval Levin, the eminent scholar of public policy at the American Enterprise Institute. Andrew Walker from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Just a fantastic group of people to talk about the importance of fidelity to God, to spouses and family, and to country and community.
Yeah, my guest today, Professor Robert George. If you want to join us, you can get in 888-914-9149, talking about an antidote, really a solution to what started as a week, Pride Week, and has evolved into a month. And we've seen everything from, you know, retailers to the MLB to sports getting in on this. How can we take the culture back? As Professor George points out, by lighting a candle. And you can learn more. You can go to Facebook and just do a quick search for Fidelity Month and be part of it. We'll talk more when we return. Stay with me. Hey, looking for a new job? How about one that offers opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thank you for being here. Thanks for joining me. It's always good to hang out with you. I appreciate you tuning in and allowing me to be part of your afternoon, trying to get you plugged into something positive, right? There's been a lot of talk about, so much of the culture war stuff, right? It's May. It's the month dedicated to Our Lady, to the Immaculate Heart. We haven't even approached June, which is going to be Pride Month. And we have seen what's filled headlines regarding Target and Bud Light and North Face and so the MLB, the LA Dodgers, the list goes on, right? It seems that the Catholic Church could be mocked, that our faith could be ridiculed, right? As Professor George points out, it's the last acceptable prejudice in this country. And I know people sometimes feel overwhelmed, overcome by it. And they feel, well, where's our Catholic voice? Where's the voice even of sanity when it comes to some of this stuff? Well, Professor George decided to do something about it. And he says, you know what? Let's take the month of June back. You know, we as Catholics have had June as the month of the Sacred Heart. And that's been co-opted by the LGBTQ+ community, right? They mock that devotion. They've co-opted June. And, they called it Pride Month, of course, one of the deadliest of the deadly sins. So as a counter of it, how do you do that? We need to exercise humility and love. And we need to choose the virtue of fidelity to stand up against it. And Professor, I'm so grateful for you doing this. Maybe we could talk about that virtue of fidelity. Why'd you call it Fidelity Month, not Humility Month, not some other month? Why did you focus on that virtue?
Well, it seems to me that many of our problems are rooted in a lack of fidelity, a lack of faithfulness. A country, a nation, a culture goes wrong when its people lose their sense of the importance of being faithful to God. We expect God to be faithful to us, and God is always faithful. But our relationship with God is covenantal. We have obligations. Yeah. It's not just that we're the beneficiaries of God's goodness, his provident generosity. We also have obligations. We need to be faithful to God to get the blessings of marriage and family life for ourselves and for our children. We need to be faithful in our marriages. Infidelity in marriage is a major cause of our problems today. And of course, being a member of a great country, a citizen of a great country that does so much for us, we're so blessed to be in the United States of America with our freedoms and opportunities. Yes, we have our faults, no question about that. Yes, our history is checkered by some very bad things, great injustices. Still, we are so blessed to be in America and to be Americans, given our opportunities, given our liberties. But we owe something in return for that. We owe faithfulness and fidelity to our country. The country needs to be able to call upon us, if I can quote George Washington, for our effectual support. So patriotism is a virtue. Now, patriotism mustn't be confused with chauvinism or jingoism. We can be critical of our government. We can be critical of our country's policies when they're wrong. I am. We were rightly critical of injustices connected to slavery and segregation. Today, we're rightly critical of the abandonment of the unborn. And yet, we can still be loyal, good, patriotic citizens. And we should be. And then our local communities, Drew. We have obligations to our local communities. Yeah. We need to serve the common good, not only of the country, but also of Smithtown and Jonesburg and Leafield and all the little towns and neighborhoods in bigger cities where we live our lives and where we benefit from being members of the community. So I think if we think in terms of that wonderful Jewish concept of covenant, we're in a covenantal relationship with God, with our spouses, with our fellow citizens. We won't go far wrong.
Amen to that. Let's grab a call or two for you. I know I only have Professor George for a short time, and you can get in at 888-914-9149. Charles is listening in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, Charles, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Professor George, I just want to give you some kudos for the testimony that you give the Catholic faith on the Princeton campus. I am a class of 77, and my son is class of 06. And in fact, he has, I think, had dinner with you at least once on the campus, because the Prince, you know, the professors often will have dinner with the undergraduates. And I'm just calling just to state, when I arrived as a freshman in Holder Hall, I saw that there was a banner that was hanging out the window. And I graduated from a Catholic high school in the Bronx. And it was Gay Alliance of Princeton. And I quite didn't know what to make of this. So it was like ultimate culture shock. And then, but my son has, I just want to give you some kudos, because my son has never ceased to alert me to whenever you're online or giving a talk, because he was really impressed with your presence there, as well as the Newman Center there on campus. And so it's just that I know sometimes you're a candle in the wind there on the campus there, but your presence there, sir, definitely makes a difference.
Wow.
Well, I appreciate that very, very much. Thank you, sir.
All right, Charles, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Teresa's in Covina, California. She's got a question for you. Hi, Teresa. Good afternoon.
Blessings, blessings, blessings. When are we going to reclaim God's rainbow for God's glory? And it's just simple. It's education, you know, the scripture, the t-shirt with a full rainbow, the scripture, and big letters, "In God We Trust." Keep it simple. If all Christian churches united and started wearing this, maybe there might be an attention giver.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Teresa. Professor, I'll let you respond and maybe offer some final thoughts. And we have a few moments left.
Well, I would just add to what she said that we need to unite across the different Christian traditions. We need to unite with our Protestant brothers and sisters, with our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters, but not just with our fellow Christians. I know from my experience at Princeton, there are outstanding people who share our basic convictions about the importance of fidelity to God, fidelity to in marriage and family, fidelity to our communities, who are in the Jewish community, especially the Orthodox wing of the Jewish community. We find them in the Muslim community. We need to reach out not only within the different Christian traditions, but beyond the Christian traditions, to lock arms with anybody who will lock arms with us to restore our commitment to the basic values that are ultimately our unity and strength, our sources of unity and strength in this country.
Well said. Dave in Niles, Illinois, I'll let you sneak one last call in for the professor. Hi, Niles. Or hi, Dave.
Stop apologizing is my message to Christians. We're always saying, "I'm sorry, but," don't ever apologize anymore. And I just reaffirm everything the doctor says.
All right. But Professor, what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, we're human beings. We're sinners. We're fallen. We make mistakes. When we make mistakes, we should apologize. But I think what the caller was talking about here is we shouldn't be apologizing for things that are right and not wrong. Right. Too often, we are ashamed of our own beliefs, even though we're supposed to believe they're true. We believe them because we believe they're true. So, you know, we shouldn't have to apologize for being pro-life. We should be celebrating that. We should be talking and speaking about that out loud. We should not apologize for being pro-marriage, the real thing, real marriage, conjugal union of husband and wife. We shouldn't apologize for speaking up for religious liberty and the rights of conscience, for the cake baker, for example, or the wedding website planner. I think the point your caller was making there, at least the one that I would affirm is that we should speak boldly for what is right and not be ashamed to speak the truth. Look, you're either ashamed of the gospel or you're not ashamed of the gospel. If you're a serious Christian, you got to be not ashamed of the gospel. And if you're not ashamed of the gospel, you're going to speak the truth out loud, in love, but out loud.
Amen to that. Professor, a lot of people want to know how to get a hold of you. They're saying, hey, don't have Facebook. How can I get connected to Fidelity Month?
Well, why don't we try to arrange something through your show, Drew? Could we do that? If listeners can get to your show's website, could we link up with our website there for Fidelity Month and give people access that way?
Sure. We'd love to. Maggie, have you been able to find a connection?
Just the Facebook post that mentions it, but I don't have a website.
Yes. We'll get to work on it.
All right, good. Okay. Well, we'll do that. Professor, keep up your good work. We're here to support you, and we're here to offer love and charity and an alternative to Pride Month, and I think it's a great solution. Fidelity Month.
Thank you so
much.
Great
way to go. God bless you, sir. That's Professor Robert George. Your news and headlines are straight ahead. I'll be back on the other side. We'll change gears. We've got a lot to get into today. There is talk that the cost of the president's inflation is destroying the American dream. We'll take a look at that. We're going to take a look at whether the Federal Reserve is going to raise money. Take a look at what it means for your bottom line and a whole lot more. Stay with me.